This is JFM Podcast.
Critical issues are getting exposed for a better understanding on a daily basis.
All I'm trying to say is that within Pangshin local government, from 1999 till date, we have never been to the Senate.
Leading to critical social, political, and economic conversations by those who matter.
If you chop alone, you will die alone. He did not chop alone. So it is his turn to chop too.
Today, look at the consequences. That is such a man that had the temerity, the audacity, to talk to a governor who still produced the highest votes in 2015. In 2015, what happened to him? He insisted that his own boy would be governor.
The best journalists are seeking all the hidden answers, with active citizens reacting.
As at the time that Solomon Olade left office, that was in 1983, there was a very big gap between 1983 and also 1999.
Seriously.
Join Ponsack Fader and Gilbert Joseph as they talk to those that matter to enable you grapple with the issues. Weekdays 5 to 6 p.m. on Nigeria at Sunset on J101.9 FM.
Hello there, very good evening to you and welcome to the program Nigeria at Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. My name is Ponsack Fader. It's a beautiful day today, Tuesday, 5th of December, 2023. Gilbert Joseph is here. Gilbert, good evening. Thank you. Well, thank you for sharing stories with me, because today, much of today, my phone has been off data. You know, I've been engrossing, you know, some other activity. But how was your day, Gilbert?
It was fine. What are brothers for, after all?
Yeah, thank you.
We could do more. It's been a great day, beautiful day at work. But I've been a bit cold. I don't know. It's sunny out, but then inside I get cold, especially with my hands. I don't know what exactly is happening. But
it's the weather.
Yeah, December comes with its peculiarities. Perhaps this is just one of those. Good evening to our listener.
Yeah, well, I mean, Gilbert, when you read the story that the army admitted that it mistakenly bombed, you know, civilians, and there are hundreds, you know, have passed, and some are seeking, getting medical help, you know, different hospitals in Kaduna State. For me, I am happy that at least the bomb blast victims, you know, will understand that, okay, this is a mistake. And then since the government has, you know, taken responsibility of saying that we admit our error, I want to believe that they'll work hard in such a way that future reoccurrence, you know, doesn't happen on the one hand. On the other hand, it will ensure that they pay the hospital bills of the last person, you know, to leave the hospital that is getting, you know, any form of medical attention. And, of course, some form of compensation to the families of those who have lost their lives. But Gilbert is very, very painful that people... I recall during the first term of President Buhari, same thing happened.
Yes. It's not the first time. True.
Same thing happened.
True.
Well, it's really sorrowful, I would say.
Sorrowful and bitter. And when things like this happen in other worlds, there are usually in-house and internal discussions about the mode of operations to be carried out, especially at the top echelon of military departments. And these things happen. At times, they are acceptable within internal corridors. But I don't know, and we never can tell for sure, because we don't belong in the military and there isn't any contrary view as to what exactly is out there in the public glare right now, that perhaps this was going to be a collateral damage, because of course it happens in war scenarios, in war situations, these things happen. But to think that, you know, most of the victims committed no crime except for the fact that they were on a religious procession means definitely this was going to be an error in truth, perhaps it was. Unfortunate, quite unfortunate, And this could have been just anybody, not just the victims or the 85 persons who lost their lives and even perhaps the close to 70 in number who got injured. But it could have been you and me. It could have been anybody because the difference is the time and space that those individuals found themselves. But I think it's most unfortunate. And to demonstrate their sympathy and empathy, Chief of Defense Staff, Chief of Army Staff, and even the Minister of State for Defense, they were all there. The President has asked that immediately a probe be opened as a result of this incident, and many other people. You have Atiku Abubakar coming out to condemn that, and even well-meaning individuals across the country have come out. And I think it's in entirety most unfortunate, and there has to be a day of mourning for these individuals if at all we want to show that we respect the lives that were lost in that event, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, very true. But, well, it's so painful, you know, and bitter, you know, just like you rightly captured. But, you know, let's talk about this COP28, you know, 1,411, you know, human beings that travel the president, you know, to Dubai for that. As far as I know, Gilbert, during the time of former president, I think it was Yar'Adua, the Clean Stove Initiative.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was late President Umaru Yar'Adua.
Yes, and I think someone dusted that in this administration. They flagged off something similar in Maiduguri.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the Great Green Wall of Goodluck Jonathan.
Yes.
All of this, you know, a climate initiative by our government. Instead of, you know, continuing with some of this laudable initiative and project, some of, you know, the leaders, you know, today, all they know how to do is take plenty people. Mm-hmm. I mean, why will you take 1,411 persons?
And you're battling to even justify that you took them with you.
And, you know, the news report, I saw an article written by a presidential aide. I've forgotten his name. Is it Taye somebody saying that most of these people actually paid for themselves? It's not as if...
Okay, yes. Special, one of the special advisors to President Muhammadu Buhari. Yeah. Bola Tinubu, beg your pardon.
You know, he said that most of them, you know, paid for their expenses. Mm. They cover their expenses when it comes to flight, you know, hotel. But for me, the question is that what is in... You know, at the end of the day, do we just go there, you know, and watch global leaders, you know, tell us what are we really bringing, you know, to the table? You know, for example, when it comes to the climate change, you know, initiative, you find mining activity illegal, you know, going on in several rural communities across the country, in Taraba State, where the governor just banned, you know, mining activities. And these are some of the, you know, concern. But for a president to go there and say 100 electric buses, you know, be doled out, you know, by the federal government, for me, it's, well, I do not know. But I think that we're yet to be serious on, you know, some of these things. If you look at, you know, Plateau, it has, well, let me not even go there. But for me, that 1,400, I mean, is a lot. And we want to cut... you know, costs in governance. Every time you hear government appointees coming out to say that, let's be patient, let's, you know, understand with the government. But why is the government finding it difficult to understand with the people? And who is supposed to understand, you know, with the other person? Is it the government or is it, you know, the people? I think the government should always do things in the best interest of the people instead of the government asking the people to do, you know, it's, I mean... People will not wake up one day and just be patriotic. They have to understand that what they are giving their allegiance and their loyalty to is serving, you know, them as well. Instead, it's not a one-way street. I think it's a symbiotic relationship.
True. First off, before I even... You have said virtually everything that has to be said about that. But the COP28, as it were, is already embroiled in so much controversy. Because the president of the party or the Conference of Parties, as it were, has already gone into something deeply controversial. How can you spearhead such a committee or a conference of nations or parties and then come out to say that, look, eradicating fossil fuel is just a myth. The science isn't clear. Now, that is the biggest challenge that there ever is. And you know that Al Gore has been in the forefront of canvassing for, you know, climate change initiatives and all of that. Mm. There's already... condemnation in the path because Sultan Al-Jubar, as he is called, has one of the top oil companies in the UAE. And then he's coming out to say, look, this cannot work because he has an interest at stake.
Yeah.
Now, people are going to defend their interest. What are we defending? How industrialized are we? Do we even refine our crude? So these are big questions that have to be answered. So if we don't have so much at stake, for example, in Côte d'Ivoire, I say this carefully because we also have our share of the climate change issues to deal with.
Mm.
But if we aren't top stakeholders, why are we taking the number of delegates that we are taking close to what China, with what they are doing in terms of the industries, are doing? Even the United States haven't taken as much delegates as we've taken. So it's so much embroiled in controversy, this issue, for a reason. And the reason is simple, that these people have no job. They have virtually nothing to do in that conference. And since we're used to being, what do they call it, headquarters of shop talk, as it were,
talk
issues.
Shop, yeah.
Yes. So I think this is one of the things we're transmitting to the global stage. And it's quite embarrassing. And I think it's important that government listens to Nigerians and understand that these are issues that are not just pedestrian, being raised by citizens. In the end, it's taxpayers' money you're using. Very important issues.
Yeah. Well, Gilbert, I think we should talk about the Plateau State Governor. Yesterday, he made a very interesting and shocking announcement, you know, at the same time, somewhere in Jos South. I mean, him saying that, or giving the order that gratuities, you know, should be paid from 1985 to date, and that will cost Plateau State Government 20 billion naira. It's, I don't think in recent recorded history in Plateau State there has been any governor, you know, that has, I would say, all will do this much, you know, for the people. I mean, just imagine from 1985, that is about 38 years, I would say, 38 years. Gratuities, you know, and pension, you know, and should be paid, should be cleared. And
debt benefit.
Debt benefit. So it's, I'm really happy, you know, to hear that. And for me, it shows how just empathy, just like, you know, we've said here several times that one visible qualities or virtue of the governor is his ability to feel what the people, you know, are feeling. And I think that that is a very good step, you know, of one to be a leader. Take, for example, how during the, he went to Kokin Sarikimangu, and what he said there, when I thought about it, he appreciated the Muslim community there for preserving, you know, the church. Sarikimangu is, you know, in a typically densely, you know, Muslim populated neighborhood. And that there hasn't been one attempt to burn that place. And
what despite all that has happened.
Of course. And what the governor, you know, said, I mean, he always say that he doesn't care where you belong to, what tribe or religion you practice. As long as, you know, you have love for Plateau, you are his brother, you are his sister. That is, you know, that is a true expression, you know, of that brotherhood. Payment of death benefits, you know, and gratuities. I just imagine what 20 billion naira will do. I'm very sure it's going to steer the economy of the state.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to put, you know, people maybe will build homes, people will buy properties, people will, you know, do a lot of things.
Stimulate the economy equally.
For the people who have given hope that, you know, they will never get the death benefit of their loved ones or the gratuity, their gratuity. I mean, this is reassuring that, look, government genuinely cares, you know, for citizen. And for me, we need to say it as it is, if you'd ask me.
Absolutely. Ponsak, I have an experience, but let me just delve into the face of that experience. And here is this. You know, when it has to do with relatives who have served in government and require the payments of their benefits and gratuities and stuff, there is so much corruption that goes into the system. And perhaps it's one of those areas that is even not talked about in terms of the subnational level of governance. Because there are times when you're processing debt benefits and people literally ask you to pay monies. Is it kickbacks, they call it, or promise them that when this is out, they get a certain share, a certain percentage.
Yeah.
And if you don't do that, perhaps you attempt to give up. The money just goes down the drain. Nobody gets to hear anything about it. So this is how, I don't know how to describe it, but this is the lowest that it can get. People served, they're dead, and others have no conscience and decide to sit on a larger reward that they should have gained, but since they couldn't, their family members and relatives should get. So there is nothing as lacking in morals and in conscience like this, that you even take corruption to that level when someone is dead. I think you should reserve some thought.
Yeah, you hide his file. Absolutely. And you don't declare him
dead.
You keep taking his salary.
So that's how it gets. But I think this pronouncement will go a long way to send a message to bureaucrats that, look, the governor has said this and he means it. It means it can be logically prosecuted for people who deserve these things to get what they deserve.
And I think that, you know, the government should think of, you know, clearing the audience table, you know, for example, because of incidences that you mentioned. Why shouldn't we computerize our system to make sure that it is technologically driven so that some of this loophole or human manipulation will not arise?
True.
And people get what is due them.
True.
Let's play this instead. When we come back, the conversation will continue. Stay here.
My assessment of that unfortunate incident of Sunday, the 3rd of December 2023, that is grave, it's regrettable, but we will do everything possible to prevent such an occurrence happening again in the conduct of our operations going forward. I've gone around to visit and interact with the members of the community. I've come again now to the hospital to see the injured. And this will help me to know the level of expertise that I need to put on the table in conducting the inquiry into what happened on Sunday, so that that inquiry can come up with relevant recommendations that will guide us in the conduct of our operations going forward. The community has been enjoined to view what happened as just a temporary setback. It was not intended. It's regrettable, it's unfortunate, and we'll work with the community to provide necessary support to the community as a whole and to the injured persons so that they can quickly regain their health. We are more encouraged by the support shown by the members of the community, even the injured ones here in the hospital. And that will go a long way to support the troops, to provide security, to provide an enabling environment for law-abiding citizens to go about their businesses. The troops will continue with the conduct of their operations. What we need to do is to fine-tune our operations such that we do not have this kind of lapses that will lead to unfortunate loss of life.
Yeah, well, glad it's still here. The program is Nigeria at Sunset. The show must continue. My name is Ponsa Kana.
My name is Gilbert Joseph.
Yeah, well, Gilbert, I mean, a lot of interesting stories from the plateau, I would say, especially as build up to the rerun election, you know, Plateau North. We saw earlier, you were the one who sent me that statement from the Chris Giwa campaign organization. I mean, what do you think about, you know, all that is happening between, you know, the candidate of the Labour Party, the candidate of the APC? There seems to be a loggerhead with one another.
Yeah, really true. And my simple take is this, that there's always going to be a limit to politics and politicking. And you should understand that you're on a stage, presumably. And when you're on the stage, you don't have to, you know, just put out or put off everything that you ever met on the stage, because if you were presenting or performing a play, it means that you're going to leave. And in the execution of scenes and acts, other people have a role to play, and they're also going to need the same stage. In essence, if you destroy the stage, then there is no place for you to perform, or even for other people to perform, other individuals. So smear campaigns, taking issues that naturally could bring sorrowful or sad tales or memories that never should have been. I mean, it's
and
just
I think
uncalled
that
for.
It's, if you read the statement from the Chris Giwa camp, you know,
yeah.
to the fact that the accusation, you know, against by the Labour Party and his candidate against the person of Chris Giwa, bringing ugly memories of the 2008
exactly the point
post-election, you know, violence. I think that is they don't obviously have what to tell the electorate, because if they do have what to tell the electorate, that wouldn't, you know, the Chris Giwa campaign wouldn't feel that that is coming, you know, from their opponent, you know, in the Labour Party. I think that, you know, campaigns should be based on ideas, not wanting to bring fresh, ugly memories, you know, in the hearts of the people. I think they should be solely based on ideas. It should be ideas driven. It shouldn't be what this person has done, what, you know, he hasn't, you know, done, for example. And it goes to show that, look, that is the content, you know, the candidate representing anybody that does smear campaign on the next person. It shows that that person doesn't have, you know, any content, you know, in him. Because if you have any, if you have content, you go about, you know, preaching to the people that, look,
this is what is the blueprint.
Yeah, this is, you know, where I feel, you know, there's a lacuna, and this is what I think I'm going to do to make sure that I fill in, you know, that gap. But in the event that, you know, that doesn't happen, you keep finding, you know, smear campaign and what have you, clearly shows that, you know, the person doesn't have, you know, concrete ideas to sell to the people. And the electorate needs to be warned. Sure. Because for you to say that this person is responsible for this, 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 and that, I mean, if you have such an information, why didn't you
take it was relevant.
Take it to the security agencies and, you know, tell the security agencies that, look, this is what we feel about this person, and these are the evidence that we have to back
the claims.
The allegation. True. Because, I mean, in our law, he who alleges
must prove. True. Yeah. Now, if you look at the strategy, I mean, the statement rightly indicated that there was a channel or a page created on one of the social media platforms, particularly for all of that. And I think it's something that we don't need. So much has gone into peace building in Plateau State. Because look at the history. I mean, you have peace practitioners every day working on their tools to ensure that things that happened previously aren't emphasized in such a manner that just can jeopardize the efforts that others have put in times past. So it's about consolidation. That's the key word there. People have to understand that you have a role to play, and when you're a leader, you have even more roles to play than ordinary people have to in society, especially when you belong in the political class. And I like the fact that people are always keen, and even those within the political class are always keen to accept responsibility for the failure of, you know, certain aspects or areas of society that are supposed to unite people, that are supposed to bring individuals together. So we've always spoken about this. When you're a politician, you have to be careful of your utterances. You have to be careful of each and every step you take to preserve society. Basically, that's the key, you know, to everything that you have to do. So if you belong to this stage, you must understand that you're going to play, you're going to perform, and then leave the stage for others.
Yeah. And for me, bringing religion to demonize somebody is evil. And
it, out of it.
Clearly show that, look, you don't have any content, you know, to give. Basically, we want the campaigns to be devoid of any rancor, because Plateau North is a volatile, you know, place. Like security agencies will say, flashpoint, you know.
True.
But we're thankful for the level of, you know, calm, order, and peace that we've been enjoying. And we don't want the Labour Party or any other party to tarnish that with their propaganda. We want, you know, the campaign should be issue-based. It should be contestation of ideas, allowing the voter. I mean, the ultimate person who decides in any democratic society is the voter. And I always say the three cardinal doctrines or principle of any democratic society is that the voters know best. Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. And then the customer is always right. Those are the three. Well, let's open the phone line, 081-218-77777, or you call 090-556-6699.
But, Ponsak, before we pick the first call, I think let's look at the conviction of those Boko Haram financiers that took place in Abuja yesterday. And it's a laudable step. The Attorney General of the Federation, Latif Agbemi, I'm sure he did not start this prosecution, but having come on board and with the timing, of course, the hearing and all, to have continued in that stride and to ensure that these four individuals were prosecuted and eventually sentenced is a huge, huge landmark. at least in the short while that President Bola Tinubu has been at the helm. And one of them, according to reports, you know, was able to sell food items, knowing that the purchasers of the item are Boko Haram, whatever, perpetrators or actors. I don't know how they call them in that respect, but he knew they were going to buy these things and use the monies to eventually perhaps purchase weapons or whatever it is that they needed. And he went ahead to sell stuff to them. And one was accused eventually before he was convicted of hiding or concealing or even serving as an accomplice to a Boko Haram operator, you know, or criminal or bandit or terrorist, as it were. So really important, two of them got judgments, 20 years imprisonment, and the two others got 10 years each. So for those who were sentenced to 20 years imprisonment, they are going to serve that concurrently. It's 10 years judgment, but for different count charges, yeah. And they are going to run concurrently. I'm really impressed by that stride. And I do hope that some of these victims themselves get jail sentences, not just accomplices.
Very true. You know, justice needs to be seen to be served. You know, whoever commits anything, you know, justice needs to be served on that person. It's going to serve as a deterrent. The irony is that Nigeria is a country that, you know, one of the things that we're struggling or battling with when it comes to our national security is terrorism. But our laws, you know, have not been or have not captured, you know, the terrorists. If it captures them, you hear the federal government coming out to say, no, we need to rehabilitate them. We need to integrate them into communities. And
amnesty.
Grant them amnesty so that you go back. But, I mean, how about justice for the person who the crime was meted on? You know, that person needs to see justice, you know, being done. And our laws needs to be strengthened so that these people will think that, shouldn't think that. Because if you're saying that, you are going to integrate them, you know, and what
it means that crime pays.
Of course. And there's no deterrent, mm-hmm. You know. Somebody will just join the Boko Haram to say, well, last, after 10 years, I know that the government will come and say, I'll be integrated. I'm will be given, you know, some money to go and start, you know, life afresh. But the criminal who, you know, steals or do anything doesn't, you know, deserve that kind of mercy. Well, Yoba will give you social media.
On Facebook, we are JFM Joss, and on X, we are JFM Joss.
0812187777, or you call 0905566699. Let's take the first call. Hello, we got you late. Hello, okay. Well, 0812187777, or you call 0905566699. Hello.
Good evening, Bozak and Gilbert.
Thank you for calling.
Hey, Solomon, I'm calling from Judget for the quiz.
Yeah, we're listening. Bozak, thanks for calling here.
Yeah, well, something just caught my mind. You see, I remember during campaign of Tinubu, there was this message that they were always said in the media that now my time to chop. You see? So, yesterday, or last week, with the news on the construction of Vice President House, they budgeted almost 15 billion. And look at it. The delegate that they wanted to go and represent Nigeria in COP29, you see, over 1,000 delegates. And look at this thing. If our government, our leaders, did they really want to solve the problems of the poor people in this country? Did they really have anything in mind that they would invest in this country so that people would get work to do? 15 billion naira, I'm telling you, can fix the whole structure of just main market. If we can have some such amounts in this thing and invest it in our old main market, it can bring out the whole main market and bring it to the finishing level. So our leaders to really think that they are not there to represent themselves for their own personal interest, but they are there to represent poor people so that at least a poor man can get work to do, and then we have something to say, yes, I have the true representative that they are there to make things work good for us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, 0812187777. Good evening.
A very good evening.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much. This is great, comrade. I don't give a Solomon, the voice of Anguar Kuba, Mr. Ponsat.
We're listening. Thanks for calling.
Good evening, Joseph Gilbert.
Good evening, sir.
Thank you. You see, as far as I'm concerned, we listen to what the Court of Appeal said. The by-election, the run election, I mean, we pray that the INEC will be sincere to deliver their work. We are set, I believe Plateau people are set to vote whom they know and whom they like to represent them at the National Assembly. Well, let me say something here. And I believe the listeners are listening. This is the only state we have. And if there are some individuals who think they are more than the people of Plateau State, we want to tell them that Plateau State is not for sale. Plateau is not for sale. And I believe if really they are representing us, they are for us. They must defend their state. We cannot go to Kano, Katsina, Maiduguri, or Yobe here to claim their state. We must build our state. Some individuals are thinking that they will overcome the attention of political intelligence of the Platinians, of which we know they don't mean any well for their state. We will continue to defend this state. Thank God we have a governor with capacity, a governor who has. Governor Manasseh Mutha is working for his people, and we agree with his services. We agree that he is doing it for the benefit and for the betterment of Plateau State. We will continue to pray and to defend this mandate. We believe that INEC and the judiciary, most especially the Supreme Court, are going to deliver in favor of Plateau mandate. This mandate is beyond an individual. It's Plateau mandate. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hello.
Good evening.
Yes, thank you for calling.
Good evening, presenters. My name is...
Yeah, tell us your name. Hello.
Hello.
Tell us your name, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I am Daniel Joseph from Kangang, just south.
Thank you for calling. We're listening.
Yeah, I'm pleased to hear that the governor has approved the payment of gratuities for pensioners. But I have...
And death benefits as well.
Yes, and death benefit, of course, yeah. It's a laudable thing. But please, retired teachers on the plateau, it seems that they are not really paid the way others are being paid. Because they have backlog of salaries still unpaid for like 2 months. 2 months backlog of salaries. They are not. Please, I need you to investigate. Investigate that. Because every time we hear the governor coming on air to say that he has cleared everyone. Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes, I need you to investigate, please. Because there's something wrong.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that. You know, teachers are very, very important.
Very essential.
And someone was telling me that in his village, you know, the student, over the last 20 years, they've not had a math, physics, or chemistry teacher. Over 20 years, you know, the only secondary school in his village. And for me, that was really, really
it's
disturbing.
Shocking.
Yeah,
it's shocking.
Very disturbing.
Science is the future.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. Hello. Okay. 0812187777 or call 0905566699. Hello. Yeah, hello. Yeah, please call back when you get a chance because it's breaking, so we can't make out your voice.
Hello, good evening, sir.
Yeah, thank you for calling. Hello? Okay, maybe Gilbert, you take some comment on Facebook.
All right. On Facebook, the first comment is from Comrade Dawes Longard, who says, nothing good will come out of the by-elections because INEC is a total failure to Nigerians. To my humble Governor, His Excellency, Barrister Caleb Mutfuang, I say keep the good work going. I am confident that the governor will deliver Plateau more of God's wisdom and grace to the governor. On BCM's mandate, we stand. Felku Kafaktos go on, says, let the political class play the game well without any religious and tribal decriminalization. Vincent Jan says, the thing is that our democracy is just corrupt as well. May God help us. Godwin Sule is saying, my good people of Plateau, as for me, INEC should please conduct the elections with free and fair handedness without compromising the results. Thank you. Tija Wang says, I look forward to seeing INEC call the political parties that will be involved in the rerun for awareness so that some doubts about whether Party A or Party B will not be part of the rerun, and also publish the names of candidates that are eligible and also on their portal. Asobagun Francis says, the campaign of calumny going on for the by-elections shows how the average Plateau man is. We are not patriotic enough, lack what to tell the people politically, but resort to blackmail their opponents. Look for cheap sympathy. Popularity is very unfortunate, and the castigation continues unabated. Yorkshire David Ngas says, I condemn in totality the killing of unarmed civilians in Kaduna State by the drone of Nigerian Army. The pilot should have an eagle eye in order to sight those victims from afar. Damage control is quite expensive now. May God rest the souls of those who have gone. God bless Plateau. Netiang Daliop says, as the rerun is fast approaching, Ambassador Chris Giwa will have my mandate. Izank Asi says, I pray that INEC and the judiciary will do justice in the election, because the election is not won by voting now, but in court. May God have mercy. Aminu Abdullah Ishoibu says, we wish that INEC conducts a free and fair election. David Mark Sambo says, the decision of the Plateau State government to offset gratuities of the retired civil servants from 80s amounting to billions of naira is a welcome development. Kudos to the governor of the state, Barrister Caleb Mutfuang. Omodan Matthew is saying, Plateau politics has been contaminated by senior men in Abuja and the biased judiciary. We cannot trust INEC, but the Nigerian judiciary is worse. Please, let's delete INEC to allow our judiciary conduct further elections in Nigeria. Dimas Bala says, I think there's a serious need for PDP to come out and clear the air about the confusion and bad narrative APC is selling out there. How true is it that PDP will not participate in the forthcoming by-election in Plateau North? Because the narrative out there is misleading people. We need clarification on this, please. Julius Achigak says, we are looking up to INEC to conduct the rerun elections in a good way. Let them try and give us free, fair and credible elections. Gobat Thangot Sr. says, we are anticipating a free, fair, peaceful and credible election. Good evening and have a nice day. Ambassador Joachim Dung says, how can someone sit carelessly and begin to call some fellow Plateau people enemies of the state just because today you are in different camp with them, and quick to forget that you were once in the same camp some few years ago? Please, this kind of dangerous politics we play must stop if we must move forward our state. All right, Ponsak.
Yeah, let's take more phone calls.
Hello.
Hello, Gilbert and Ponsak. Good evening.
Thank you for calling. Good evening.
My name is JD. I'm calling from Zot.
Go ahead, Jerry. We're listening to you.
Ponsak, honestly, it's really worrisome. It's really, you know, disheartening to find the political class on a pedestal of defeat, on a pedestal of, I don't know the words to describe these people anyway, because, you know, I don't know whether they have, you know, relegated, you know, the definition of leadership, which is all about service. You know, look at the shenanigan Chris Gilbert is all about. Honestly speaking, if people are not mindful, these people, as far as I'm concerned, on the national scale, these people are all out on a business. It's more like a business is frontier for them. So the example of, you know, Gagdi, who is bankrolling now. As far as I'm concerned, everybody is actually investing for him to get gain. Now, for an example, with Chris Giwa now. Sorry, I'm not the current member of any political party. I'm just trying to be a Nigerian citizen.
Yeah, please go ahead, yeah.
You know, such an example of Chris Giwa. Chris Giwa has ventured into almost everything that we can think about. Is he trying to become the NFF chairman at some point that he was at loggerheads with some other because of election? You know, if it's all about service, you started a football club here in Jos. Where is it now, if I may ask? Because I believe that so much is more like a grassroots foundation for people who are lacking behind, especially people who are talented but have no place to go. He might have just, you know, shortlisted a lot of people that might find themselves into drug addiction, into, you know, snatching of phones and all that. The list goes on. Come to the issue of Kogi State, you know, and then look at the kind of thousands of people right about now when we are crying that people should be patient enough with the government, and then thousands of people are going for a summit. If I remember a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, the Malawian president withdrew some of his ministers abroad because of the hardship of the country. He had to slash everybody's salary by 50%. That's telling you how bad the economy was. As far as I'm concerned, the cut and paste constitution we have in Nigeria can never work. Our problem is the legislator. There's nothing like fine tuning. Like one of your guests said on Emeka and Abigail show, he said we are a country with nation. As far as I'm concerned, the only thing that can happen is to scrap that one and beat it. Let's start all over again. If not, the gap. As far as I'm concerned, we'll keep.
Well, we lost connection. Please call back. He was making really interesting.
Hello.
Thank you for calling.
Hello, Mama. I don't know. Calling from right here.
We're listening. Thanks for calling.
I'm concerned, but I must tell you that I've lost hope in the judiciary. So I'm more worried about the judicial tsunami they did on the place, sacking all those people. I'm not worried, you know. My worry now is what we can't do anything about that one. My worry now is that of no fun. I just pray God will intervene and let it not affect him. You know, that's it. Because he's a listening governor. Remember a couple of times I used to phone, talk about our pension, those of us on retired under Patu, especially officials. It was almost going to 24 months. Just a mere telephone conversation. This man listened to us and started saying, then look at him, because we accuse him to pay, not even to pay every month, just pay 1 month. Before you do 2 years, you finish paying. And he started doing it, you know, even some roads. He meant a telephone conversation. That means he listens to his age, like Moisha, Swamishon, and the rest of them, you know. And perhaps he even listens by himself. That's the kind of governor we want now. And look at what the leader is doing. I don't know. I've been saying prayers. I don't know. I just pray the prayer will do that. Really devastating. Then if he gets to, if he's able to go to, then I'm appealing to him, using a medium to appeal to him to look at some of the federal rules, like this and Gwajarawa. They voted massively for him. Around February, I hope you know it. There's one set of persons, church, the Catholic Church. We went for Thanksgiving on Sunday. But if you see the priest there, Jesus Christ, we have to wash our body, wash our clothes, wash the car. Terrible. And they have been the ones who dry, you know, doing this and all that. Terrible. So since they are not even part of the plastic. Just pray, because if they really find the roads for them, doing ground rent, all those things, they will get them, because a lot of people are living there, you know, so the idea and all that. So I just ask for that activity, but now, you know, he's not settled again because of this problem. I think God will see him. Look at the waste happening in the country. They're telling me to fasten my fingers, and they're losing their own. Does it make sense to go with 1,411 people there, and they are saying that they only went to 402? 402 is still not. There's too many. What they should have done is the total for me should have been around 400, everybody, including government. Because ESTA code is there, DPA is there, you know, it's just a question on the Naira, and they said we're crying about the dollar. I was just watching the Nigerian anchor before I got your line now. Do you know that there, the, what you're discussing is for salary? They said 10,000 is what the bank is going to pay henceforth. I went to the bank yesterday, said I cannot take more than 50,000. I won't want you. You know, but now the Nigerian anchor is discussing it. You know, it's the it doesn't talk rubbish. 10,000, that's what I saw on the screen. Yeah. I don't know which way we're going. They just they said they want to build a house. Was it the official listing for VP? I get sick. They said, let's go to Nigeria.
Thank you. Well, really, really
tough to take.
I'll see. Yeah. Hello.
Yeah, good evening. Yeah, good evening. This is Desmond from Bankinadi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. We're listening.
Okay, wow. Well, I can't wait to see the candidate of PDP on the ballot box coming the rerun election. That's my prayer. And I believe Watkon will bounce back to his seat by God's grace. So, honestly, you see, the difference is quite clear. Look at the leadership of Barrister Caleb Manasi Mutfa. You see, just a few months he did in at that position as our governor-elect. You see the practical talk and do he did. You understand? It's quite clear. You understand? So I believe God will shame the vampires. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you very much. My name is Sadiq Umar. I'm calling from Chicha and Chijongshan.
Well, listen, Sadiq, go ahead, sir.
Yes, actually, I will start my first comment in this mistake that has been made by the military on the civilian or on the people that have been gathered. It's very, very unfortunate. But it is very, unfortunate to the extent that this kind of mistake that happened. So you see, we have this kind of attack in some forests that have been recognized. We have not seen this kind of bombing or even trying to get this kind of shooting in those kind of places. So we are calling on the those that are concerned to be careful on how to handle this kind of weapon in the society. And secondly, we want to speak on the issue of policy that is happening in Plateau State. Actually, it is a very, very unfortunate issue that we have a very, very good governor. That the governor understands the aims and objectives of the Plateau, and he's ready to fulfill it. But some people don't want that fulfillment of the achievement of the governor. That's why we did not get it right. But all the hindrance and some problem that is attached to the governor, we are hoping that it will come to an end when the Supreme Court will realize the truth. Because we are even giving kudos to some public societies and other groups that are looking into the cases, that why this case is very, very different. So the interest in Plateau is very, very rare. So we are calling on those that have their own personal interest. They should look at Plateau. They should look at the end and objective of this governor. Is he going to fulfill? If he's going to fulfill, they should give him the benefit of doubt. If by those 5 months he can achieve what is on ground, I think nobody will have a doubt on him, because it's a very, very assured that what have not done in 8 years, it have done in 5 months. So there is no any doubt that we will see wonders in the 4 years. So we are calling on Plateau citizens and Plateau stakeholders. They should look into the matter so that it should settle as a peace district. And I'm calling on APC in general. They should look at democracy. They should look at the people's rights. They should look at human rights so that the freedom will move in terms of democracy and plantation. Thank you very much. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for calling. Well, after this, maybe, Gilbert, you glean through for more comments, new ones. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
This is Alison and Sonic from Josh.
We're listening.
Please, I want to use this media to tell people they should not allow us to go back to the people who have come out from it. As far as APC is concerned, they have nothing to do with this class of state. Even Nigeria is falling. They should protect their vote. I'm pray that God should put this governor in that state. If you go around the state, you see what this man has done within a short time. That APC will not do with this state. Please, I'm telling black people they should protect and pray that God should keep that man here. He will see the 4 years ago for his concern. APC has nothing to give in the election level. All that people have been telling us that we have no money. They went to Saudi Arabia or wherever and go with it. How many thousands of delegates are went there? What will it take to reduce those delegates and reduce their cost since we have no money? Or they went there and managed our money. Nigeria should not allow us to go back to the city. It's a permanent position and we don't want to go back to the city. But we pray that this governor God will keep him that and protect him and keep him wisdom that he keeps full of us.
Thank you, Gilbert.
Suleiman Jibril says, to me, I have full confidence that INEC will do the needful as usual. They will conduct free, fair, and credible elections, inshallah. Aminu Abdullah Ishaibu says, we wish INEC conducts a very credible election at the end of the day. ZT Isaac John says, there is so much corruption going on in the Plateau State Pensions Board. Mr. Governor should take notes, please. Malaika Ayuba says, God bless His Excellency, Governor Caleb Mutfang. I pray for more grace. That does it, Ponsak.
Yeah, well, more phone calls, and then we call it a day on the show. 0812187777. Hello, good evening. Hello. Okay, that wasn't working. 0812187777. Perhaps we'll take the last call. Hello.
Yeah, evening, Ponsat and Gilbert.
Yeah, turn down the volume of your radio, please.
Yes, I've just done that.
Yeah,
tell us. My name is Yakubu Musa Pada.
Okay. Oh, great. Good to have you.
Yes, I'm calling in respect of the fact that the governor wants to pay gratuity.
Yeah,
please. I'll give him a thumbs up, please.
Yeah.
I have a case. Before now, somebody retired meritoriously. But for him to be included into pension records, it has taken us a lot of work. Thanks to one permanent secretary who helped us to even include the personality into the pension record. And now the governor is thinking of payment of gratuity. He has done well, and I told people will never forget these great gestures. Inasmuch as it is not something that he's giving Plateau people for free, but others have not looked at that angle. Or others have looked at the angle with ethnic thought. I can tell you for a fact that previous administrations have decided to corner some individuals that are coming from their ethnic group and pay them some of their stipends in the name of gratuity, sir. But today, this governor is trying to make it for everybody. This is a thumbs up, and Plateau people will always stand with him, including some of us. And if he has done that, I am assuring him of my vote when he comes for second time. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Yakubu Musa Pada. Well, Gilbert,
talking about rights, Amnesty International released a report about last week about the handling of rights issues of Nigerians under this government, and it was quite poor. It was damning. So something has to give. Again, on Emefiele, the same thing. A group in the U.S. Already making crying out that the way that the Emefiele matter has been handled hasn't been so fair, and that something has to be done. So you expect that someone who has been at the heart of democratic struggles would do better, President Tinubu.
Well, this is much we take on the show. The news will come your way top of the hour, 6 o'clock. Do enjoy your evening. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.